As they went to the polling stations, voters in Fiji echoed the concerns of so many others around the world. The cost of living crisis and rebuilding the economy after the COVID-19 shutdown.
This government is doing so much for the people. They are giving bus fares, food vouchers, even the lot of things the government has done.
People are just really nervous about how things are going to turn out and excited also for the possibility of change.
That nervousness was because the election was largely a choice between two men with a history of interfering in the democratic process. Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama led a military coup in 2006 and has been in power ever since. As with the previous vote in 2018, his main challenger was another former military man, Sitiveni Rambuka, who led two coups in 1987 before being democratically elected as Prime Minister. Given the collective history of the two, there's been plenty of apprehension in Fiji about what could happen after this vote.
I accepted my defeat in 1999, congratulated Mr. Chowdhury outside the President's house and office, and I hope we can do that. We cannot live forever, we cannot rule forever.
As Bainimarama went to cast his vote in the capital Suva, he was in no mood to discuss with the media whether he would respect the outcome.
Haven't they got any intelligence reporter from Australia to come and ask me questions, better questions than that? Thank you.
This year, Fiji found itself at the centre of a geopolitical tussle between China and the United States and its allies Australia and New Zealand. While Fiji chaired the Pacific Islands Forum, Beijing launched a diplomatic offensive, attempting to sign a regional security and economic pact with Pacific countries, which was unsuccessful. Any military intervention after this election would again test regional relations and potentially add to the economic concerns of Fijians. Wayne Hay, Al Jazeera.